At Arizona State University, we offer a variety of programs online designed and taught by a renowned faculty to empower your success. That's why 87% of ASU online graduates stated they were promoted or received an increase in salary after earning their degree. Visit asuonline.asu.edu.
Future-proof extra.
With Jonathan McRae.
Proudly supported by Science Foundation Ireland.
On News Talk.
Now, undermining all of our attempts to find objective truth in our universe through science is one simple, undeniable problem. We are all experiencing the world from a subjective viewpoint. So how do we square that circle? Well, George Musser is a contributing editor for Scientific American magazine and author of Putting Ourselves Back in the Equation, Why Physicists Are Studying Human Consciousness and AI to Unravel the Mysteries of the Universe. He joins me now. George, welcome to the program. Quite a lot to chew in even the title alone. Tell me a little bit about this book.
Yeah, well, it's a pleasure to be here. And of course, we like to take on big topics, right? And what are the two of the biggest topics in modern science? But understanding ourselves, understanding our own consciousness, our intelligence, our experience, why we perceive the world in this rich intricacy that we do, and the universe. What makes it up? What is underlying its multiple, its beauty, its phenomena, its ugliness in some cases? And the proposition of the book is that those two questions are deeply related to one another, that to understand the universe, we need to understand ourselves, and conversely, to understand ourselves, we need to understand the material universe as well, so that those two problems are intricately linked.
Okay. I mean, in that they're difficult, or is there more to it? Because they seem very different. Consciousness and understanding the universe seem to be very different things. So maybe walk me through it slowly. How are they linked?
Yeah, so they you can come at it from two directions. One is coming at it from the universe side. So physics, physical science, sciences in general seek an objective view of the universe, one that is basically divorced from our individual viewpoints, somehow standing outside us, right? And maybe even explaining us. But they're also empirical. So those sciences need to relate this view from nowhere, as it's sometimes called, this kind of objective view of truth to our own experience. Otherwise, what's the point? The whole point ultimately is to understand our experience. And to understand that, you need to plug us into the universe. That's the putting ourselves back in the equation part of this. You need to put the observer into the picture, because our view of the world is filtered. It's filtered by just our senses. We see only visible light, etc., but also our habits of thought, the kind of rational, sometimes irrational faculties that we bring to it. So we need to put ourselves into that picture. And coming the other direction, there's really a puzzle about consciousness. It doesn't seem explicable in scientific terms. This is the famous hard problem of consciousness that the philosophers talk about, and that's actually now talked about more widely in neuroscience and cognitive psychology, that consciousness doesn't seem, it's not mathematical, it doesn't seem purely informative. It's not just, if you see a traffic light and it's red, it's not just the information you should stop at that light. It's also, there's something about the redness, right? It looks like the sunset, or it reminds you of a fire engine or something like that. So there's this more than the informational content, and science just doesn't seem to grab onto that. So some think, the philosophers think, that either it's inexplicable, we'll never understand consciousness. And I think that's kind of sad. I mean, I would like to think I can understand myself ultimately, but maybe science needs to expand its framework. And that expansion of framework might have other meaning for our understanding of the universe as well.
Okay. So in theory, it sounds like a nice premise, but in reality, how do you start to connect these two ideas, the hard consciousness problem with our understanding of things like quantum physics, for example?
Yeah, so this is the trick of science, right? It's to take big questions and break them down into something you can actually get your handle on. And so coming from the physics point of view, because there's like this two directions going on here. So coming from the physics point of view, this has been known for a long time in physics, that especially quantum physics, cosmology and other fields too, that an understanding of the observer is needed to make sense of those subjects. But it was always one of those things that the physicists got into like in the last chapter of their book, or like the last few sentences of their or lectures and so forth. It was really just not dealt with at all. And if, in part was the arrogance of the physicist. And I come from physics, so I'm allowed to say this, right? Physicists tend to think they know it all. And now the thinking among a lot of physicists, especially younger ones who are maybe overcoming that particular arrogance issue, is they need to reach outside their field. They need to reach out to the neuroscientists, the people who are experts on the brain. And you're really seeing this a lot. So in quantum physics, for example, some of the theories of consciousness that are now arising, one is called integrated information theory. I've talked about a lot in the book, but there's others. It's hardly the only one. Is actually actively now being plugged into the theories of quantum physics to try to get at this observer problem.
So in what way? Now, this might be too dense for our listeners or me, but in how do we connect consciousness into quantum theory? Because they seem completely unrelated to me.
Yeah, they seem unrelated, but this is the joy of science, is taking things that seem unrelated and actually relating them and showing that actually there's this deep connection. So there's this weird thing in quantum physics that observers, and not just any observer, conscious observers, play a role in the theory. So if take the Schrodinger cat type situation of you get this cat, and there's various ways to do this, and actually it's done today, not with actual cats, but with particles, you put into a kind of conflicted state that in the case of the cat, it's both alive and dead at once. And your kind of intuition is like, whoa, how can that possibly be? Or just recoils. How can you have something in two mutually incompatible states? And yet quantum theory says that it does happen. With particles, it's not alive and dead as with the cat, but it's like goes through the mirror and reflects off the mirror, something that's like two incompatible states. It's called a superposition. So quantum theory says that things enter superposition. It's quite a natural kind of implication of theory, and it's observed indirectly in some ways as well. But we never see that. We see cats only alive or dead. We see particles go through or reflect off a mirror. We never see both of these conflicted states at once. They're somehow resolved. And how is it resolved? Well, the theory says it's resolved only on the act of observation, that when a conscious observer, and the word consciousness is important there, registers the particle, that it collapses. That's the term of art here. The situation collapses down. So instead of having alive and dead, you get alive or dead. The and is replaced with or. So you get this kind of weird thing and it involves a conscious observer. And the reason if consciousness is involved in that is if the situation were simply registered mechanically, if you just had a computer, a non-conscious computer, because that's an issue there, right? Or just some kind of passive system, the passive system would merely inherit the superposition.
What?
So suppose the computer.
Really?
Yes. So suppose the particle detectors are involved in this. They too enter this superposition state of both firing and not firing, or detecting or not detecting. The computer might display two incompatible things at once. And again, we never see this. Only in our conscious experience is that resolved. And there's different ways to read that. One is it's kind of an illusion. It actually is resolved, but it's resolved before it reaches the conscious observer. But then that would mean you have to add on to the theory. There's something incomplete in the theory.
Okay, so I can see where that is an intriguing overlap. Is that the only point, or is there other experimental evidence to suggest that we need to start thinking a little bit more like neuroscientists when applying logic to physics, or vice versa?
So in quantum physics, this is the biggie, and it arguably it's one of the top 10 questions in science generally. But there's other places in our understanding of the universe where an observer needs to be inserted. So cosmology is another one I talk about at length in the book. There's this weird kind of, and we're talking cosmology, really big cosmology, like universe beyond galaxy even. Our view of the universe seems, according to our theories, seems to be unrepresentative of the universe in its whole. We see just a piece of the universe, and that piece of the universe doesn't seem to reflect, according to the theory, the whole universe.
Yeah.
Why? why do we see this unrepresentative piece in the universe? And the proposition is it has to do with us in a sense. It has to do with the fact that intelligent beings such as us, could be aliens too, but certainly us, can have certain conditions for our own existence, for our own ability to observe. And that's what causes this kind of bias in our observations.
Isn't an easier solution to that, that we just have got the maths wrong?
Yeah, this is, and then a lot of people think that. A lot of people think that, okay.
Like bringing aliens in or bringing consciousness into cosmology, thinking that, you know, we haven't found this gap and we don't understand it and maybe it's something else. It seems like quite a stretch to me to say that that's not just really bad maths and it'll just take a couple of years and we'll just find that we forgot to put a minus somewhere and actually it'll figure itself out.
And that's also the case for quantum physics. You're exactly right that you faced with this kind of conflict between our experience and theory, you might say the theory's wrong. But the thing is, these theories work well in other cases. Mm. So there's the superposition actually manifests itself in other kinds of experiments. We don't see it directly, but we see kind of indirectly through the kind of so-called interference experiments of physics. In cosmology, the theories actually work well. They explain the matter content and material content of the universe. So the scientists are loath to just ditch the theory altogether. And then What would they be left with? They'd be left with just like a blank slate again. So they're kind of trying to work with this problem.
So how do we get AI in here? And where does it sit in terms of consciousness and objectiveness?
So the dream of AI going back to the 50s wasn't just to create chatbots and chess-playing machines. It was actually to understand ourselves. So that's where the AI really is important, because it's a mirror, kind of a computational mirror that we hold up to ourselves and understand ourselves better. Because, you know, really, what are we? I mean, what is experience? What is consciousness? What is intelligence? What is perception? We all have ideas about this. We have direct access to it. But in a deep scientific sense, we kind of really don't know what it means to be intelligent. We don't know what it means to be conscious. Even perception has a lot of mysteries and puzzles with it. So we use the AI systems to create models of ourselves. That's one way. Another way is that the AI systems think differently or understand differently, if you want to use that term. You don't want to anthropomorphize too much, but okay, they approach problems differently from us. Maybe they can triangulate in on this. Maybe by approaching the problems of science differently from the human, they can get answers that we can't otherwise get at.
Mm. I think that's probably quite likely, the more we train. And it brings me to this, you know, this Alan Turing kind of question that I always have, where people say, well, it's not intelligent. It doesn't have consciousness like we do. And, you know, the Turing test was a simple idea of, if you put someone in front of this computer and you can't tell when you're having a chat with it, if it's just a microphone going to a real person or an actual computer, then that's good enough. And I think, you know, that question of, you know, AI reaching, you know, human level consciousness, that it'll never happen. I think that's a little naive. I think we will get to something where it looks so close to a higher level of consciousness that we can't untangle it back to its component parts. This is a really interesting conversation. It is a much longer one, though, and it is teased out in the book. It's called Putting Ourselves Back in the Equation, Why Physicists Are Studying Human Consciousness and AI to Unravel the Mysteries of the Universe. The author is George Musser. George, thanks for your time.
It's been a pleasure, really.
Future Proof with Jonathan McRae.
Proudly supported by Science Foundation Ireland.
Sunday morning at 10 on News Talk.
Some people take the straight path in life, but at Arizona State University, we respect your twists and turns. They make our online students more driven to excel in their professional lives. That's why our personalized suite of services empowers you with innovative resources and staff that sticks with you.
Make your next turn with one of our 300-plus programs at ASU, number one in innovation for 9 consecutive years.
Visit us at asuonline.asu.edu to learn more.